Tevis, Tevis, Chof Dalet Tevis. It's the Yartzeit HaDalet HaRebbe. So I'm not giving you papers to hold while I talk to you. So if you need a piece of paper, just hold any piece of paper. Rabbi Gron, Rav Hashem from Australia, that they're saying Kaddish for him now. Yitzhak Gron at Amol Fabracht, and Yishuva bringt for us. So he told us that when he was young, he knew a chassid whose name was Reb David Shifrin. Reb David Shifrin passed away in 1943. It's a long time ago. Oh, it's a few years ago. 1943, 66 years ago. Nechten, eher Nechten. Reb David Shifrin lived in America for many, many years. And he was a big chassid. He was a big chassid. And I've been a freilichid. I'm like a real chassidish idiot. He was a freilichid. There's a film of him. If you ever saw the video that they gave out from Jem, that's called America is Nicht Andish. So you have clips from the 1929, 1930 visit, including the before the Fide Kerebbe went back to Europe, there was a Fabrengen took place in somebody's home, and the Rebbe, Fide Kerebbe, visited there. And you see in the background, the Dovid Shifrin is singing and clapping, and they're trying to film him, he's blocking his face. He was very, very involved in Agudas Chassidic Chabad, and at Asach Makarav Gevezin, Chassidim in America, and Gezer Chassidim, the descendants of Chassidim, and so forth. He was a big Chassid. As a young boy, he had been at Mamreb Marash. As a young man, in Mamreb Marash. He was an Alter Arid. And he knew a great Chassid, who was a Chassid from Tzemach Tzedek, from the great Chassidim from Tzemach Tzedek, whose name was the Rashdam, the Shmuel Ber Bar Yisever. The Rashdam, the Shmuel Ber Bar Yisever, was a Yid. He was a Chassid from Tzemach Tzedek, and then later he became the Reb Marash Chassid. And there's actually a letter from the Reb Marash, where the Rebbe Marash writes to the Chassidim from the city of Zhembin, where he lived, that they should support him. They should give him panos, they should do his work. Upon him, it evidently, the Shmuel Ber Bar Yisever, as great a chassid as he was, had one weakness. He didn't like to part with money. He was a stingy person. But he was a chmin, he was a meidnik in maskel, a gvaldik in fashtein and chassidus, and oivid alakim. The mashpia in temchet mimim was a greinim, a Shmuel greinim Esterman, greinim. And he had two influences in his life. Rav Shmuel Ber Bar Yisever and Avram Gezhembine. Avram Gezhembine was Gorderov. Avram Gezhembine was a Midrinik Abal Mais. He knew a lot of Sipurim. He knew a lot of Shemusha Shalteira. But Rav Shmuel Ber was a Maskel Otzim Chesidis. At the Moiz Gehadivit. And with all the Chesidis we have today, to the big Maskilim of today were Talmidim of Greinim. And Greinim was a Matalmud of Shmuel Ber. He was a big Chassid. But he had this weakness. Now Chassidim, as you all know, have a Fabrengen every Montek and Donishtik. If they don't have an excuse for Fabrengen, that itself becomes the excuse, you know. The Bilul Parasha never said, I'm not his bubble. The Bilul Parasha never said, I'm not his bubble, by benching. He always said, Shira Malas, except for the 9 days. So he always came up with ways of explaining why today's a Yom, but Shira Malas is not his bubble. So he said he had a guest. As nicht gewen kein Eirach, is the nicht Eirach gewen der Eirach, und er gesagt, Shira Malas, that's it. If he didn't have a guest, then not having a guest was the guest, and he would say Shira Malas. But anyways, Chassidim and Fabrengen. And Reb Shmuel Ber always would joke, why? Because they had a Fabrengen. They used to make a collection. They would come to the Shtibel, to the Chassidische Bes Medrash, or Batei Medrash, and raise money for the Fabrengen. The Geld, this is Geis and Nemen Geld, Kleiben Geld of Mashke, that's what it was called. So whenever they were raising money for Mashke, Reb Shmuel Ber would joke. So you're wasting money again. Inefficiency. Anyway, it happened once when Geklippen Geld of Mashke, they were raising money for Mashke. Dr. Shmuel Ber, was Kleitman Geld heint? What are you wasting money on today? Say, tell him Chof Dalet Tevis. Alter Rebbe's Yortzeit. Chof Dalet Tevis? Faren Alten Rebbe will ich euch geben a Pitak. Es gewen a Yelud Isha. Punkt wie Atzmus im Hussat gewollt. Those were the words. Chof Dalet Tevis. For the Alter Rebbe, I also want to give a pitaka. It means 5 cents, Mustame. He was a human being, the son of a physical mother, precisely in the image of Atzmus im Hus, the way the Eibishter wanted. Sa tiefe Wort von a tiefem Chassid. Alter Rebbe. Chof Dalet Tevis. The Alter Rebbe, ich mein, as the expression is, "Ein gei memachad av zahalal," the life of the Alter Rebbe, the mesiras nefesh of the Alter Rebbe, and the hatzlocha of the Alter Rebbe, the success of the Alter Rebbe is literally indescribable. It's ein l'shaya, the how difficult his life was and how incredibly successful a life it was. The success of the Alter Rebbe's life is not measured in his lifetime; it's measured in today. Incredibly accomplished life, a man who was extraordinarily blessed by God and never took anything for granted. Gehorovit till the last ounce of power and energy and koyach and life that the Eibishter gave him. But the story of the Alter Rebbe's histalkus is a story unto itself. And it's the story, of course, of the war between Russia and France. That Napoleon Bonaparte, you know this story with Napoleon. He appeared and disappeared and reappeared and then disappeared again. He was a schnook living on an island, and they called him emperor. He was ruling over his bed and his pillow and his slippers, but he was the emperor, Napoleon. But the Alter Rebbe saw Napoleon as a klipa, as a klipa. He didn't see him as a man; he saw him as a force. And the Alter Rebbe obviously felt that way because it was the truth. The Alter Rebbe Beruach Kotche understood that Napoleon was given koiches milmaila to fight kedusha. It says in Spurich Sidim, in other words, not from the Rabbeim, that the Alter Rebbe once said the following: "B'shas the Rebbe didaf kumen of der Welt," when the Rebbe, the Maggid, had to be born, so the Samach Mem, the forces of evil, complained, "How could you allow such a great neshama to come into this world? It's gonna tip the scale. It's no longer gonna be even." Is dan given Wilhelm, which means essentially that they gave klipa the opposite lahavdol. Elifaf Elza, the Mezitcher Magid, was Wilhelm, Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany at that time. And I'm figuring, I'm imagining, I'm surmising that this was the, so to speak, the patron, the political sanctioner of the reform, of the Enlightenment, and all the upper courses that came with that. He says, "When yet is done Napoleon," Altheb said, "now there's Napoleon." He didn't specify, but it was quite obvious that he meant to say that when his neshama had to come into this world, and Klipa would not allow without a bone, Altheb gave him Napoleon. Altheb saw Napoleon as his liyumazib, pshutek mashmoy. And Altheb finished, "Ichob meida zich voldafen onkum and sumesiras nefesh bepeil," which means I'm afraid that I'm going to have to resort to actual self-sacrifice. And that's exactly what occurred. We know that the Alter Rebbe was supposed to live 8 more years. And the Alter Rebbe was Nistala Kedem's Mane to defeat Napoleon. The Rebbe Marash had a son whose name was Rav Tzadik of Avram Sended. If you've been to Lubavitch, you've seen the photos, he's buried right outside. He passed away at the age of 8. And his histalkus is described in the Toldos of Reb Marash. He had histalkus of Moichin the Godless. You never say about a child before Bar Mitzvah Tzaddik, because the Neshama hasn't even gone in yet. How could you defeat the Nefesh HaBahamas? But by him, he was 8 years old, Chita Yeled, Harav Tzaddik, Reb Avram Sended. The Tzemach Tzaddik stood by his histalkus. And the Tzemach Tzaddik said, "This is the Neshama from the Alter Rebbe." This was the Alter Rebbe's Neshama, because the Alter Rebbe was supposed to live 8 more years. And the Alter Rebbe's histalkus prematurely is linked directly to Napoleon. So there's a letter from the Mittler Rebbe, which in years past I actually brought in and copied and shared it with you, where the Mittler Rebbe writes to the Beisha Meisels. It's a long letter, and there's actually a Maimer from Alter Rebbe, which I also recently brought in, but unfortunately the yeshiva doesn't have the new Svarim. I couldn't copy it for you. A short little Maimer, which is printed, in, it's mamish the last Maimer printed from Alter Rebbe, from Tovkofayim Beis, from 1812. Right before the Alter Rebbe ran away from Liadi eastward into Russia, where the Alter Rebbe Bekitz and Nimritz says the same thing. I'll give you a little bit of the historical background. The Alter Rebbe left Liadi erev Chedesh El Tovkofayim Beis. The Alter Rebbe took a position against the French, against Napoleon, and in the Jewish world that was not a popular position, because Beklal Yidden supported the French. And their support of the French was based on a very simple fact. The Russian anti-Semitism was literally unsufferable. And don't think that after Napoleon was defeated and the Russians won, they treated the Jews any better. Not at all. Alexander was not bad. Alex, the king who presided over Russia at that time. But before him and after him especially was Nikolai Machshmei. Nicholas, a Russian Marusha. They were Rishoyim. They hated Jews, and they were so cruel to Jews. It's indescribable. The Gzeit of the Kantanisten, the Tzadis, Thurus, Vasnidim, Mebegelep. So most Jews figured, it can't be worse. Napoleon has to be better, especially since Napoleon was a Democrat. Even though Napoleon turned out to become an emperor, I don't see the corollary between democracy and being a king, but Napoleon was a Kel Yochel. He could rule by himself and everybody is free. And the Alter Rebbe saw him as mamish, as the epitome of Le'umaz. You should read the letter. He's the Satan, he's Ra, he's the epitome of evil. Alter Rebbe hated him, sinas movas. Hated him. He said, the Alter Rebbe said, you cannot hate more than I hate Napoleon. He saw Napoleon as the epitome of Ra. And there were two points that the Alter Rebbe made in articulating his deep hatred for Napoleon. The first was his bloodlust. He was a man who celebrated war. He celebrated war. He enjoyed killing. He didn't enjoy killing. Killing is a bad thing. For killing, go to jail. But a battlefield with two armies and strategies, where not one person dies, but 10,000 people die, a maladetz, a chevreman. He lived for battle. He lived for battle. He gave him great pleasure, gave him glee. And his tactics of battle had one criteria: to win. Now, that sounds like a reasonable tactic, but in offensive war, when you're on the offense, when you're trying to conquer and not defend yourself, you can win and you can win. The brutality of the French army, the brutality of Napoleon, was matched by the Nazis only. By the Luftwaffe, what do they call themselves? The Wehrmacht, the German army. That in their desire to win, it was preferred to kill thousands of civilians for convenience, Poshet. In other words, there was absolutely no Rachmanis, there was no sense of humanity whatsoever in their model. You have to win, and if win means killing people, so people have to be killed. And they did it b'shat nefesh. There was no remorse, there was no sense of we're killing women and children, innocent people, helpless, defenseless people were murdered in the thousands because it was convenient for the war effort. This was how the Germans operated, and this is how Napoleon fought war. It's a good way to win a war. Matzuful menches menisht. You know, in later generations, they termed the phrase total war. And that's what total war has come to mean. Total war means where it's not armies fighting, it's countries fighting. And every civilian is fair game. You know, schools, hospitals, like Hamas fights. Yimach Shemam v'zecharam. There's no such thing as discretion in war. There's no such thing as Rachmanis in war. So the Alter Rebbe said, I hate Napoleon, first of all, because of his ratzchonis, his schlechts, his cruelty, his bloodlust, and his complete disregard for human life. And secondly, because of his gaiva, his arrogance, his attitude was, I cannot lose. And it was this attitude that defeated him. And when you read the Mittler Rebbe's letter, you hear the Mittler Rebbe writing what the Alter Rebbe was saying. Alter Rebbe was saying, if he will have the tiniest measure of humility, if he'll have the smallest sense of constraint, of limitation, and his ambition, I'm afraid he'll succeed, Alter Rebbe said. And if he succeeds, Jews will suffer terribly. He says, not a Jew will remain with his Judaism. Not a Jew will remain with his wealth, because he's a Sein Yisrael. Jews supported him in the belief that materially, begashmias, they'll benefit. Alter Rebbe says, there won't remain one frum Jew in lands that are occupied by Napoleon, by the French, and he says there will not remain a Jew with a dollar under his occupation because of his tremendous sinas Yisrael. This is Alter Rebbe, that's all Mittler Rebbe's letter. But it was the gaiva that Alter Rebbe focused on. If he will have any humility whatsoever, he says he'll be successful. But Alter Rebbe says, I doubt it. He's too arrogant. And it was his arrogance, his hunger, his ambition, which was rooted in his sense of invincibility. He had this belief that he was bulletproof, because the way they describe him on the battlefields, that bullets were flying all around him and people were falling like flies, and he was pushing. He was like transparent. Bullets didn't touch him. And he developed this sense of this godlike sense of himself, and it brought him down. Alter Rebbe hated him. And the key, the nekuda, was his gaiva, his ge'oin. And as I'm telling you, there's this long letter from the Mittler Rebbe where he describes what the Alter Rebbe was saying about him. It was his gaiva and his atzchonis, his schlecht, that the Alter Rebbe identified. And there's also a short maimer, like I said to you, which I didn't have a chance to look at this morning because the Nishiva didn't have the sefer. And it's interesting how the Alter Rebbe describes him. He calls it a war between Tsarfas and Yavon, between France and Greece. Russia becomes Greek. What's the correlation between Russia and Greek? Nobody knows. I mean, it's a funny connection. And the only way to explain it is that the religious culture, in other words, the form of Natsronut, of Christianity, that is in Russia, is not only called Greek, it is Greek. It's full of icons, Getchkes Poshet, that have their roots in Yavon, in the ancient, in the olden ways of the Greeks, the Hellenic ways of the Greeks. So the Alter Rebbe identifies Russia as Yavon, and France as Tzarfas. And he calls them chesed and gevura, kindness and strength. And the Alter Rebbe spins it upside down. He says, but that's a klal, normally, chesed is the right side, and gevura is the left side, right? So when you face east, as I am doing right now, Dorim, the southern side, is chesed, and Tzafon, the northern side, is gevura. And the Gemara says, it's brought in Chassidus, that in the Beis HaMikdash, Menera bedarim v'shulchan betafen. The Menera, the candelabra, was on the right, and the shulchan was on the left, because the Menera represents Ruchnius, and the shulchan represents Gashmius. For Gashmius, you have to have Tzimtzum. The left side is Gevura, and Gevura is associated with Panasa Gashmius. The Gemara says, Areitzela ha'ashir, yatspin, if you want to be wealthy, move north, and Areitzela ha'achim, if you want to be wise, yadrim, move south, because the Meneira of Simnach, Meneira Bedorim Veshulchan Betzafen, the Meneira is on the southern side and the table is on the northern side. So the table is a symbol of Panasa. And usually in Chassidus, the connection between Tzafen, which is Gevura, and Panasa is that the Barucha from Hashem can only come from Ruchnius, the Gashmius, by being Tzimtzum. And the southern side, Dorim, is the side of greater light, which goes on Chesed, which goes on Torah, which is represented by the Meneira. But the Alter Rebbe spun it all backwards. And it's essentially like this. When you face West, when you face Maidiv, the Tzafen is the North, and Dorim is the South. So the Alter Rebbe turns it backwards, and he says that Russia, which he calls Yavon, Greece, is Chesed. And the Raya that Yavon is Chesed is that they have Panasa, bread, they were the breadbasket of the world, Panasa Mozi. And again, it's all upside down. That in this case, the Panasa Gashmias represents an overflow of Chesed, even though normally we associate it with Tzimtzum and Gevura. He says, in the south is the desert, there's nothing there. And he describes Bonaparte, the French, as Dorim, as the south, and as a place of desert and nothing. But when you read between the lines, the Alter Rebbe is describing essentially what he viewed. It's mamish a description of the Nazis. If you've ever studied a little bit, the Nazis and their war tactics, they were the best army in the world, by far. But their entire identity was Gevura. Everything was Gevura, exact, precise. It was surgical and it was so heartless. So the Rebbe says, Chesed always wins and Gevura always loses. He brings a pasuk. Now you must understand the intent of that statement. Alter Rebbe says, Chesed always wins and Gevura always loses. Now you have to understand how we're doing it now. Tzafen, Yavon is Chesed. The north is Chesed, exactly the opposite of it normally is. And Dorim, the south, is Gevura. He says, Chesed always wins and Gevura always loses. And this is the Pele. Gevura is stronger than Chesed. It's a fact. Chesed is soft. That's what kindness is. It's soft. And soft also means inexact, liberal. It's not so perfect. The south represents Gevura, strength, precision, exactness, and hardness and coldness. Gevura is stronger than Chesed. Says the Alter Rebbe, the Eibishter is the master of the world. And because the Eibishter is master of the world, the weak overcomes the strong. The inexact and the imperfect defeats surgical precision. In other words, Gevura should win. Gvura should win. They're the best, they're the most efficient. What they need to achieve, they're completely locked in on. But it's Gvura. There's no softness, there's no compassion. So the Rebbe says, the way Eibishter made his world, the weak defeats the strong. Chesed wins and Gevurah loses, in spite of the fact that Gevurah should win. And he adds one akuda because of the gaiva, the godlessness, the arrogance, the disposal of Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe writes, as my father said, you know how they mocked Hashem and they mocked religion and worship and connection to the Eibish and so on and so forth. So even though they are the better army, and they are in so many ways so perfect, but the way the Eibishter made his world, Chesed Keil Kol Hayom, says the Rebbe, Sof Kol Sof, Gevurah has to lose in spite of the fact that B'der HaKateva they should win, and Chesed should lose, but because this is God's world, Sof Kol Sof, Chesed wins. Now the Rebbe says, I predict that the French will lose. And again, I repeat, now the Rebbe said, if he, Bonaparte, would have demonstrated the smallest amount of constraint, in other words, the smallest sense of I'm not invincible, I'm not Kel Yochel, he would have won. They found in the last few years several Rishimis from the previous Rebbe, which were diary that he kept during World War I. They found them in the Rebbe's house on President Street. And they printed them two summers ago, that means the summer before last, in the Kfar Chabad magazine. And they're very, very interesting documents, and they're hard to read in some cases, where it describes the Rebbe Rashab at the very outbreak of World War I. That's one essay. It's weeks and weeks of diary. This is a day-by-day account of what went on in Lubavitch. And in another diary, he describes the time period surrounding the Rebbe Rashab's decision to depart from Lubavitch, to which he would never return. They're very interesting, they're important historical documents, certainly from the spirit of Chabad. But one of the things that's written there is the Rebbe Rashab was keeping track of the war. I once mentioned this to you, that the Rebbe Zayde, our Rebbe Zayde, the Baruch Shalom, once walked in, the Baruch Neir once walked in, and the Rebbe was doing something, and the Rebbetzin was sitting and reading the paper out loud. Tzavis Matutzach. So the Baruch Shalom, the Baruch Shneir asked the Rebbe Rashab, was it Zayin mit Melchamas? The Rebbe went like this. I have no idea. But in public, by Fabrengenishin, there were different things that Rebbe Shmosedin said. It's so clear to me, and you're certainly welcome to disagree, but that World War I was a replay of the war between Russia and France with the opposite outcome. In other words, the Alter Rebbe succeeded to push off the Inyan of Napoleon for 100 years. Napoleon meant assimilation. And until the war and the revolution, most Jews lived in Russia, and most Russian Jews were Frum. And the World War I, even though the Germans technically lost the war, but that they stood for, won. Klipa won. Now, this is not about Klipa winning. It's one of the things that has to happen before Mashiach Tzidkenu comes is the Inat Tshuva. And we are the generation of Tshuva. And unfortunately, it's very, very literal. We Yidden have to push it, come back to the Meibishna, the Atam, to look to Echad Echad Beis Yisrael, one by one, Yidden do Tshuva. But in any case, so the Rebbe Rashab, in that period, the beginning of the war, was gathering this information, and he says, Ich verstehe nicht. Ein Medina schlagen sich mit der ganzen Welt. One nation should take on the whole world. Now, World War I was not one nation. It was three empires. They called it the detente, they called it the central powers. Germany, Austria-Hungary, and the Ottoman Empire. Geographically were most of the world. But the Rebbe Rashab understood what people who understood at the time what was going on also understood, that Austria-Hungary and the Ottoman Empire were a house of cards just waiting to fall. They were both skeletons. They had no more power, they had no armies, they had no anything. So it really was Germany taking on the whole world. And the Rebbe Rashab is like Verstanden. The Rebbe Rashab, believe me, didn't spend his time studying politics and tactics of war. He wasn't our Rebbe. He was the Rebbe Rashab, Anander Dor, Anander Rebbe. But he understood right away that this is Germany against the whole world. So he says, one country taking on the whole world, Deutschland auf Verschleppen mit der ganzen Welt. He couldn't understand it. This was Napoleon. Mamisch dieselbe Sache. such a gaive. And the Rebbe Nishma Seyden said that it's this, the Alter Rebbe said it's this gaive that he hated, this arrogance, this sense of, I don't need God. You know, the Gemara says that when the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, there was a Jew by the name of Bar Dareima was an extraordinary warrior. And the Gemara describes his skill. He could jump, he could leap a mil. A mil is about a kilometer. And kill with one swipe of his sword hundreds of men. He had superhuman powers, mamish. And Bar Dareima said to the Eibishter, don't help me. Just don't help my enemies. Don't help me, just don't help my enemies. And he was killed by a snake in a bathroom. That was the end of Bar Dareima. And of course, after he died, there was a calamity. A collapse, and Yidden suffered gefel lechatzaras. And what it was his arrogance. Bechlal, that a man should have bittel, a human being needs humility, especially in times of war. Especially in times of war, where literally, you know how Napoleon lost the war? The rain, poshet, the rain. And there's no stopping the rain. God is the master of the world. That's the fact, that's a historical fact. He lost the war because of rain. Sachakel, two epis. That's how it is, you know. The French lost because of the Russian winter. And in Waterloo, the famous Battle of Waterloo, he lost to a rainstorm. He lost because of the rain. So you need humility in war. And when you don't have that humility, you don't have that bittel, and there's a guy in a goin, you're starting up with the Eibishter in a domain, in an area where the Eibishter shows himself. And this is the Alter Rebbe said that this is what the French is going to be defeated. Now, Bashgoch al Yena. Today's Chitas is Shlishi of Pasha's Va'era, and unfortunately the Sunday night Pasha class was very poorly attended. I don't see too many people here now who were there on Sunday night at the Pasha class. So I'll repeat to you an akuda from a Maimir that we learned on Sunday night. This is a Maimir which the Rebbe Rashab said in 1917, and the Rebbe said once in a Fabrengen that this Maimir resulted in the overthrow of the Tsar of Russia. And the Teichon of the Maimer is the first Pesuk of this week's Chitas, today's Chitas. Yemer Adeshem El Meshe. Meshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Meshe Rabbeinu, Re'ei Nesaticha Lekim Lefarei. I have made you the God over the Pharaoh. Lekim, a God over the Pari. And of course, the Mepharshim all scramble. The Eibishter made Meshe Rabbeinu a God over Pari. And of course, this, again, I'm not going to give you Sunday night's class. I have to punish you for not showing up. There's so many different interpretations of it. But there's a Maimer from the Rebbe Nishma Seyden where he explains it. And he explains it in two different ways. The first way is more balabatish, more standard. It is the end of the Maimer, the second Eifin, which the Rebbe says, this was the point that the Rebbe was making at that time. And I'll give you a little bit of a background. I'll give you Agdama. The Agdama is that in the Gemara there's a machlaikis. There's an argument in the Shas that when a person, a Yid, sees Uma, Shasha Mesacheches Lei, a king or a nation, the Hashem as a Chakaslai means that at this particular moment they're doing very, very well. That the hour of fortune is upon them. You know, al pitayda there's itim, there's manim, there's times. And when you see a nation or a group of people that at a particular moment Hashem as a Chakaslai, that you see that they're doing very, very well, so there's a day in the Gemara that says you have to be weary of them. Even though you're Jewish and you serve the Eibishter and the Eibishter Kel Yochel and the Eibishter what he wishes, but you have to become pacifist. Don't confront Klipa Shasham is a Chakaslai because, so to speak, the Eibishter is smiling on it. And this doesn't say in the Maimer, this I'm going to add on my own, that there's two unbelievably important and painful examples for this. Yirmiyah Novi and Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai. Yirmiyah Novi had said to the king Tzidkiyahu to be a pacifist against Nebuchadnezzar, against Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Don't fight because you'll lose. And Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai's attitude towards the Romans, in the time leading up to the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, Yehonah ben Zakkai was the pacifist. He was the peacenik. And unfortunately, he was overruled by Bar Yuni, by young, hot-blooded, tough guys who thought they could fight with the Romans. And they forced Jews into a direct confrontation with the Romans, and the base of Mikdash was destroyed, and millions of Jews were murdered unnecessarily. So the Gemara, this is the basis for this position of the Gemara Mefereshes, that we see a Umoy, you see a Melech, Shashar Mezacheches, you must be pacifist. Rab Shimon ben Yechai Yemir, Tizgara Be'umis. Rab Shimon ben Yechai says differently. He says, Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, it is my opinion that even when you see a nation in its moment of glory, in its moment of the greatest height, take them on, fight them. So the Mayim Echasidus explains what's the machlekes, what's the argument? And the Gemara answers, the Maimon answers, that it has to do with the madrega of the neshama. Even tzaddikim gemurim, even the Siyah Yisrael, are not all in the madrega of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And if you're not in the madrega of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, even if you're a tzaddik and a nasi b'Yisrael, like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai and like Yemiya, which again, this doesn't say in the Maimon, this is my own insert. When you see a nation, Shama Zachakas, you have to be pacifist. But Rashbi is a tzaddik alien. Rashbi is a madrega of Yosef HaTzaddik. He's in such a high madrega that he has the koyach to take on a klipa at its height, at its moment of ga'oin, and to spiritually defeat it. And once it's defeated spiritually, it's obviously defeated down here practically as well. And where does he get this koyach from? He gets this koyach from Meshe Rabbeinu. Because Rashbi was a nitzitz of Nishmas Meshe Rabbeinu. And where did Moshe Rabbeinu get the koyach from today's chita? It falls in Chavdala Tevis. That the Eibish that says to Meshe Rabbeinu Satichol Lekim Lepari translates Chassidus, translates the Maimon. There is the Pari in his Shadish. Pari Lamailo. The Pari of Klipas is in the Shadish is more powerful than Kedusha. It comes from Kesed. And its trademark is Go'oin. Its trademark is Gaiva. And normally, for most Yidden, even for tzaddikim and tzaddikim gemurim, when you confront a klipa in that maimedu matzev, you cannot take it on. Taylor says he can't take it on. Says the Eibush to Meshe Rabbeinu Nazaticha lekim lepare. I give you the koyach to fight the klipa when it's betokfe, when it's in its full matzev of gaiva, which is perhaps an explanation of what was the chiddush of the Alter Rebbe at that time. In the times of the Alter Rebbe, that the Alter Rebbe took on the klip of Napoleon and his chavedim, Talmidei HaMagid, with tzaddikim gemurim, preferred to permit or to prefer that Napoleon should win. Perhaps, this doesn't say in the Sikhs, but perhaps this was their cheshbon, that you're not going to overcome a klipa when it's b'chol tokve, b'chol ge'enei. But the Alter Rebbe, who was Nisi Yisrael, said that you have a koyach to fight the klipa in its moment of greatest gaiva, in its moment of greatest glory and greatest arrogance, you can conquer and defeat the klipa as well. And the Parshas HaShavua, the key state of the day, fits exactly with Chavdal Tevis. Because Chavdal Tevis is a similar story. The Alter Rebbe identified the French Napoleon as being gaiva, as being a klipa that's fearless, and of course it gets its koyches from the Meibishten, and it insists on its independent, its lack of need, its who needs God, mi adei Shem, v'gamez b'nei Yisrael le'a shaleach, and the Eibush gizkeach to Meshe Rabbeinu, to the Rebbe, the Nasi Ador, who has the nitzot of Meshe Rabbeinu, the nitzot of Shem Bayechoi, to fight the klipa when it's in its greatest takeif. And the Rebbe has a sikh on this. Again, if you were here Sunday night, you know this. There was the maimer, we learned the maimer from Rebbe Nishma Seiden, and then there's a sikh, and the kut sikh is chelek tezayin. Pashas Vo'era. I think it starts on page 74. It's not the beginning of the Sikha. It's the part of the Sikha that's Negeh. It's in Yiddish. It's a Geschmack Zaleinen. It's till about 80. And at the end of the Sikha, the Rebbe says that a Yid HaChosid, who's Makusha to the Rebbe, the Nasi Ador, who's connected to the Rebbe, because of his connection to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is the Meshe Rabbein of our generation, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai of our generation, doesn't have to be afraid of a klipa, even when the klipa was in its full might and its full power and its full toikif and its full arrogance. Because this is the keichas that the Eibishter gives Meshe Rabbeinu, and it's pashtus of the Meshe b'chol dor v'dor to fight a klipa with b'chol ha-tekif. So this is a little bit of a pshetel, a bit of an interpretation as relates to Chavdal HaTevis, but the yesod is zichar ha-nemeset, the Alter Rebbe saw Napoleon as the antithesis of everything holy. And primarily, it was because, besides for his midas ha'achzorius and its chonis, you know, they didn't look, when they're fighting a war, they didn't look at people as an issue. They had to win. And if people are standing in the way, you have to defeat the people. I mean, the Germans fought wars with one tact, demoralize the civilization. And the French, this was a tact that Hitler took straight out of Napoleon's book. And this is a midah of achzorius, which, you know, in the modern times, at least officially, is intolerable, is unforgivable. and there's a gaiva to it. And that's the epitome of klipa. And Sof Kol Sof, the Torah tells us, Bila Amavos LaNetzach, the Ebishah defeats all klipas, especially the klipa of gaiva. And Yvestach HaMolek, and Midian, and so forth and so on. So the Yvestach HaMolek, about the Rebbe's yard site. So there's a special koyach for this Bechina, for this Inyan. Zalham Dizgals Malach HaMashiach, take it from a yad. Mamish. Okay.